Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today we are going to be checking out Numbers Chapter 2.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Book of Numbers.
Very exciting stuff.
It is. And you might think, like, oh, the organization of a camp, how is that going to be relevant to my life?
Right.
But we are going to be uncovering some practical wisdom from this ancient text.
I think that's what's so cool about Numbers Chapter 2 is that it gives us this really interesting picture of how the Israelites, you know, fresh out of Egypt, how they organized themselves in this wilderness.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like, oh, let's throw down our tents wherever we feel like.
Yeah.
They actually had a very structured system,
yeah.
like a blueprint almost
yeah.
for how they were going to live together.
And the first thing is that the tabernacle is right in the center.
Right in the middle.
So you can imagine being an Israelite,
mm-hmm.
and you're walking through the wilderness, and all you see is sand and sky.
Sand and sky for days.
But right there, in the center, is the tabernacle.
Yeah. This visual reminder of their faith, their unity, their purpose.
And surrounding the tabernacle are the 12 tribes.
Right. Divided into four divisions.
They've got their own leaders, their own banners.
It's all very, you know, organized.
Yeah. And the text is very specific about the order of these tribes.
Oh, yeah. It goes into detail about the numbers of people, the whole nine yards.
So we know there were 603,550 men.
Wow. Not even counting the Levites.
Yeah. They were counted separately.
They had their own thing going on.
It's really amazing the level of detail, right?
It is.
It makes you think about how we do the census today, and it's like...
completely different.
Totally different.
Yeah.
But okay, so we've got this structure.
Okay.
What can we learn from this today?
Right. Like, what's the takeaway for us in the 21st century?
Yeah.
I think we can start by looking at that placement of the tabernacle, right?
Okay.
It wasn't just thrown down in some random spot.
Yeah.
It was the focal point, the heart of it all.
Like their values.
Exactly. It symbolized their covenant with God, their faith.
Oh, that's good.
So it makes you wonder, what are our tabernacles today?
Like, what are our guiding principles that we want to keep at the center of our lives?
Exactly, no matter what's going on around us.
What are your tabernacles, listeners?
Yeah, think about that.
Now, beyond the symbolic importance of the placement of the tabernacle, this whole camp was just super organized.
Oh, yeah. They were all about efficiency.
And there were very clearly defined roles and responsibilities.
That's key in any kind of community, isn't it?
Yeah.
Knowing who does what.
Yeah.
And I think that organization wasn't about being controlling. It was about creating this framework that allowed them to actually thrive.
Right.
Because remember, they were in the wilderness.
It was a tough place to be.
Yeah, they're facing constant challenges.
Uncertain.
And having that structure, that order, would give them some stability, some security.
It's like that saying, a place for everything and everything in its place.
Exactly.
Like, maybe the Israelites were the original Marie Kondos.
Maybe. Bringing order to the chaos of the desert. I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so true, right? Like, order, systems, they're so relevant to our lives today.
Totally. Like, just think about your work life or home life or your relationships. When things are organized, when everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing,
mm-hmm.
it creates so much peace.
Yeah.
And then you can focus your energy on things that really matter.
Well, absolutely.
So, okay, let's go back to the specifics of this camp.
Okay.
So we know that we're very organized, but was there a deeper meaning behind the way the tribes were arranged? Like, beyond just being super efficient?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, if we look at the order of the tribes,
mm-hmm.
we see it's not random.
Okay.
It's based on lineage, history, and their relationships to each other.
Oh, interesting.
Like Judah, for example.
Okay.
The tribe where King David would come from.
Right.
They were positioned at the front of the camp, leading the way eastward.
Hmm.
A small detail, but it says a lot about their leadership within the community.
So it's like they're carrying their history with them.
Yeah.
Like physically embodying it.
Yeah.
That's powerful. And you mentioned that the arrangement was also based on family ties.
Right.
Tell me more about that.
So the tribes camped on the east side. So Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun,
yeah.
they were all descendants of Leah,
okay.
Jacob's first wife. And then the southern tribes were descended from Leah and Jacob's handmaids and so on.
I see.
So you have these smaller groups within the bigger structure of the camp.
Right.
Based on, you know, kinship.
Like nested communities.
Yeah. Back
with their own unique identity.
Right.
But they're all contributing to this, like, larger whole.
Exactly.
And that idea, unity and diversity, it feels so relevant today. Like, we're constantly interacting with people from all different backgrounds,
yeah.
different cultures, different beliefs.
It's the world we live in.
So how can we use this model, you know, the Israelite model, to deal with all of those complexities?
That's the question, isn't it? And I think it comes down to recognizing and respecting individual identities and anti and a outdrives. Like the Israelites, they had their differences, but they were united by their faith, their history, and their goal of reaching the promised land.
So it's about finding that balance between honoring what makes us unique and recognizing the things that we share.
That bind us together.
And that's a good lesson for any group, whether it's a family or a workplace or even a country.
It really is.
Now let's talk about the Levites,
Okay.
the guardians of the tabernacle.
Yes.
They weren't included in the military census, right?
No, they weren't.
They had this very specific set of responsibilities.
Right. They were entrusted with the care and transport of the tabernacle and all of its sacred objects, which, was a big deal. It required a lot of understanding and commitment to their faith.
So they kind of represented the spiritual core of the community.
Yeah, you could say that.
While the other tribes, provided the physical support and protection.
Right, highlighting that a community needs both the practical and the spiritual.
It's like we all have these unique gifts to offer, and they're all essential.
Every role is important.
Yeah, you need people who can build houses and roads, but you also need people who can inspire you and guide you.
Absolutely.
And the Israelites, through their camp, they just demonstrated that they really understood that interconnectedness.
Yeah, they did. It's pretty cool when you think about it.
Yeah, it really makes you think, what can we learn from this and apply to our lives today? Imagine if we approached our communities with that level of intentionality,
I know, it's pretty amazing.
recognizing individual gifts and our shared responsibility.
It really speaks to that need for belonging, and purpose. And the Israelites, with their camp, they created this system that gave them both.
I like that.
They had their individual identity with their tribe, but they were also part of this larger whole.
Yeah, and that's something we all wrestle with, right? Like finding that balance, our
Totally.
own needs versus the needs of the community. How do we contribute? What are our gifts?
Big questions.
Yeah, big questions. And the Israelite story gives us some clues about how to navigate that.
For sure. And it's not about like creating some rigid utopian society. It's about fostering that sense of shared purpose, clear roles, respect for each other.
So if you were designing a modern day camp, what elements would you take from this model? Like, what would you need to create a thriving community?
Well, first you got to figure out what are those shared tabernacles?
Oh, yeah.
What are those core values that bring everyone together?
That unite us.
Yeah, even with all our differences, what are those principles, those goals that we're all working towards?
And then how do we make those values a reality?
Right. It's not enough to just talk about it, We have to live it out. And that means creating roles and responsibilities, figuring out how we make decisions, how we deal with conflict.
Being mindful of how our actions affect other people.
Yeah, Zach.
Thinking globally, acting locally.
Love that.
We can have these big ideas, but it really comes down to what we do every single day, how we treat each other.
Absolutely, our contributions to the community.
And the Israelite story shows us that even when things are tough, even when we're wandering in the wilderness,
We can still create that structure
we can still build community and find purpose.
together.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive into Numbers chapter 2.
Wow, who knew there was so much to learn from a camp set up from thousands of years ago? But seriously, for everyone listening, what are your tabernacles? What are your guiding principles? And how can you apply these lessons to your own life, your community?
That's something to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll see you next time. Keep on seeking and exploring.